just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Yes, even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
Lord, I'm so thankful for your presence here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide us now as we study your word. Lord, that we would hear from you this morning. I pray for all those that are sick this morning, Lord. Those that are traveling this morning, that your hand would be upon them and help them to get better, help them to stay safe. Lord, I'm so thankful for all those that are committed to coming to your house. Seeking you. Father, may your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 12. I'll try to preach fast if y'all listen fast, and everybody might be tired. We stayed up kind of late last night and had a good time, and so if y'all listen fast, I promise to preach fast, okay? Luke chapter 12, and title of the message today is "Give an Account," okay, and that'll bear itself out as we read the scripture. But all of us someday we're going to have to give an account for our lives. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" That's countercultural to what we believe often in America, that we believe the most successful is the ones with the biggest house and the most toys. But that's not what the Word of God says, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Is that not what the American dream is? Eat, drink, and be merry, and just take life easy. I've stored up. I've worked hard. I've earned this. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." So, I've just been thinking a lot this week. There's been a lot of tragedies in the news. The helicopter crash last weekend with Kobe Bryant, and then a lesser story that's not got as much airplay. Did you see where the people that were living in the houseboats at Alabama and the fire broke out on the dock? And last I'd heard that there was eight or nine killed in that, and there were still people missing and just asleep. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but the reality is that just like that, life can be over. Today's a gift for each and every one of us, and just like that, life can be over. Those people sleeping in the houseboats, those people on the helicopter going to a little league basketball game, they didn't know in just a moment that they would be facing their Lord and Savior and giving an account for their life. Just as this rich man here building more and building up his possessions and all that he had and saying, "Now I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry and take life easy because I have so much. I have plenty. There's nothing I'm in need of. And so I'm just going to kick back and take it easy." And what does the Lord say? "This very night, you're going to have to give an account. This very night, your time's up." Romans 4:12 says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." You know, there's things as a preacher that I wonder sometimes, Lord, am I going to have to give an account for this? Things going on with the church, things going on in people that's part of our flock, and I take it serious. And Lord, I need your guidance. I need your Holy Spirit. You know, but you know what? You're not going to have to give an account for me, but you are going to have to give an account for your life and the way that you lived it, and the way that you spent your money, and you spent your time, and you spent your talents, and you spent your abilities. Now, you're going to have to give that account. Not me. You will. And it's a fearful thing to think that someday I'm going to be standing before the Lord, and I can't hide anything. I can't make excuses. I can't say, Lord, I was living the American dream, and I was doing what I thought was right. But if we're not doing what the Lord tells us to do, and we're not, we're storing up for ourselves and not rich towards God. That's the thing, being rich towards God. Luke 12:40 says, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." Coming at an hour when you do not expect Him. And so that moment is going to happen for each one of us. And some people, they live to be old and just fall asleep one night and they're gone. Some people may have a sickness or a disease, and they say, unless the Lord intervenes, you have so many months or so many weeks, and you can kind of see it coming. But many of us who are healthy and happy right now, we're not thinking about death. We're not thinking about, you know, well, tonight might be it when I lay down tonight. I'm just going to fill y'all. Any of y'all that hang out with me, you know I've got sad, tragic stories, and I'm just going to fill y'all up with some of them today, okay? But in Paris, there's a mailman. I used to see him walking, and man, he was a muscled-up, buff-looking dude. His calves were the size of my thighs, and I'm talking about just muscle. And I was picking up down there one day, and the guy that I picked up from looked like he could cry. I said, "Man, what's the matter?" He said, "Man, I just found out my friend just died." I said, "Really, man? What?" And he was telling me he's not very old, and he's got two kids at home and his wife, and he's just gone. Come to find out, it was that mailman, that big buff dude that looked like the picture of health. I'm not for sure. I heard two different things. First, I'd heard it was heart attack. Then I heard it was an aneurysm. I never did hear which one for sure it was. Just like that, he's gone. He looked the picture of health. At the hour when you do not expect, the Lord says, this very night your life is demanded of you. Are we truly ready to give an account of our life? You might say, "No, Pete, I'm not ready. I'm not telling you that I'm ready to stand before the Lord. Part of me is so excited and so ready to go and be in heaven. I'm not going to lie to you. Part of me, when we're singing here sometimes, and the older I get and the more aches and pains I get, and I don't want to do any more funerals or anything like that. Let's just have, Lord, the rapture take place. Let's all go together." You know, and I think about that, but then when I really think about it, and I think I'm going to stand before the Lord someday, and He's going to say, "Pete, Luke 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. That's us. We are living in luxury. Even if you live in the worst house, you're living in luxury by worldly standards. at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. A time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." I heard a powerful testimony this week, and I had Hayden and Crystal listen to it. Madeline wasn't home, but this young man was talking about growing up and drinking and partying and doing all these things, and he had a dysfunctional home. His dad would beat his mom, and his dad even beat him once and put him in the hospital with a concussion, and he would just lie and cover up for his mom and dad and what was taking place at home. And he began to just drink and party, and then he was, I think, 20 years old and had got his younger brother drinking and partying with him. His younger brother was 18, and one night he's at a party and said the mood just changed at the party, and he said it was just like a dark cloud come over it, and he really didn't know what was going on, and said one of the guys came to him and said, "You need to call your dad." And he's like, "I'm not calling my dad, I'm drunk." And he said, "You need to call your dad right now." And he said, "No, what's going on?" And the kid forced him, dialed his dad's number and handed him the phone, and he said, "Dad, what's going on?" And his dad said, "Your brother's dead," and just hung the phone up. He left that party drunk and got killed. And the reason why I'm sharing this testimony with you is because he said, "You know, a funny thing happened." He said, "We had a funeral, and he said the preacher preached up my brother at what a good Christian he was and what a good kid he was, and that he's in a better place now." And he said, "All these people were saying all these wonderful things about my brother, but," he said, "it wasn't true." He said, "It wasn't true, and I knew there was something that wasn't right about what they were saying in my heart." He said, and I thought this was an amazing statement. He said, "Just because you're an American does not entitle you to go to heaven." And he said, "But everybody in America, when they die, what do we say? They're in a better place. They've went to heaven." Story went on with a classmate in college whose dad was a preacher wanting to talk to him, and he was persistent, and this man ended up getting saved. He said now his parents are saved. He has a great relationship with his parents, and he has a ministry and all this, but it just made me think. We don't know. We don't know at what time in our life will go. And here this man is living in torment, and he says, "Just a tip of water on my tongue." Y'all, hell is real. It's real. And people that we love, people that we care about, are going there. And you know what? Reality is, someone in this room might be going there. Are you ready to give an account for your life? But Abraham replied, verse 25, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." He was crying out from hell for his brothers. Warn them. And I'm warning you today that this is real. This is as real as us sitting here. This is as real as you hearing my voice this morning. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Who rose from the dead? Jesus Christ. Look at all the people today that still are not convinced that hell is real, that Jesus is real, and that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And there's still people today that's not convinced of that. I want to say something here, and we're going to go back to 1 Kings. Because this story could lead you to believe that being rich is a sin. It could lead you to believe that having plenty, it might end up sending us to hell. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not the case. And there's what immediately popped in my mind was 1 Kings chapter 3 was Solomon. And we're going to take a look at Solomon right here. 1 Kings 3, verse 3. And it says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifice and burned incense in the high places. So you see here, Solomon walked according to the law. He walked according to what was written. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. I preached about that not too long ago, about what if God said to you this morning, what do you want? Just as he did the was it the blind or the cripple? What do you want? And what would you say this morning? So God says, what do you want? Solomon answered in verse 6, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in a place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? What was he asking for? He was asking for wisdom, right? He was asking for the ability to serve God and serve His people, right? That's what he was asking for. God, bless me with this so that I can be a good servant, so that I can be a good man, so that I can be a good leader, so that I can do what's right in your eyes and for your people. Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for the discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. You see there, what did God say? Since you're going to, the gift that you've asked for, you're going to use to serve me and serve my people, I'm going to bless you mightily. Okay? So there's not sin in wealth. There's not sin in prosperity. There's not sin in the blessing, but it's how you're using it. And is that making sense this morning? I know everybody's tired, but is it making sense what I'm saying this morning? It's how you use what God has given you. It wasn't that the rich man had because he was rich, he's gone to hell. It's because he didn't use what God had given him for God. And so if you're the richest person in this room this morning, or the poorest person in this room, are you using what God has given you for His glory, for His honor? What we have to give to God. And when we give it to God, God will add blessings upon blessings to our lives too, I believe. But it's when God can trust us. And can God trust you this morning? We're going back to Luke chapter 12, where we were a minute ago. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" I want you to think about what he's saying here, that many of us were so worried about life and our things and what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat and all that. Verse 27, "Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things." I think that's important to think about. For the pagan world runs after all such things. What are you running after? For this very night, you may have to give an account. What are you running after? What are you chasing? It says that's what the pagans run after. What they'll eat, what they'll drink, the clothes they wear. Y'all, this message is for me. I told Crystal yesterday, I said, I'm so convicted by this message that I'm going to preach tomorrow. Because my heart and my mind still goes for nice things and worldly things and things that have no eternal value. And I need to get my heart right. I don't want to be like the pagans running after the world and everything the world has to offer. Your Father knows what you knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. See, that's the key right there. Seek His kingdom. And then He'll give you what you need. What He knows you can handle. What He knows you can be trusted with. See, I think for many of us, we have it backwards. We're seeking after the clothes. We're seeking after the food. We're seeking after the houses. We're seeking after the cars. And then God gets our leftovers. I heard this week, I bet I've heard 6 messages on tithing. And I was praying and I said, "Lord, are you trying to tell me something? I don't like preaching about tithing. I don't like preaching about money because everybody gets so weird and offended and everything." And that was one of the things that I'm asking God, is that one of the things that I'm going to have to give an account for? Because maybe I need to instruct better on that. I don't know. We're not talking about tithing this morning because I don't know what the Lord's trying to convey to me. I believe tithing is a very good principle. And I believe that God has blessed me in my life when I've given and we should be doing it. Okay? But you really break it down and there's a whole bunch more other than just 10%, which many of us did. And in the New Testament, it's everything. Everything belongs to the Lord. And that's how we should be living our life, is everything belongs to my Heavenly Father. And if He says give my whole paycheck, I should give my whole paycheck. If He says give 10%, I should give my 10%. But what happens is what? I want a new outfit. I want a new truck. I want to have nice things. I want, right now, I'm wanting a new bed. Our bed's terrible. And so, you know what? That's what I'm looking after. Y'all, is any of that stuff wrong? Well, we just seen from Solomon's life that no, God blessed him. God blessed him mightily. Why? Because he was ready to serve God with his ability. But seek first His kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. God knows what we need. Are we seeking Him first? Are we seeking God with everything that we are? Watch out. Be on your guard, for this very night you may have to give an account. This very night! Are you ready to stand before the Lord this very night? Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me and those who seek me. Find me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We ended our fast this week and we took communion last night. And I shared with y'all that was here last night and I'll share it again. I got a ways to go. I do. The fast enabled me to be more focused, but I'm not where I need to be. And God's saying, when you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. And see, I need some work because there's too much junk still grabbing my mind, grabbing my heart, grabbing my affections. You know, why was everybody, we have tragedy after tragedy after tragedy taking place in our country today. Shootings at Walmart, shootings at schools, shooting at churches, you know, and it's become so much in the media. It's almost like we've heard it happened again. And then, you know, the people on the boat dock dying last week. And then, but all of a sudden, a superstar that's healthy and rich said one report was he was worth $500 million. He's 41 years old and he's gone like that. And then all at once, the reality sets in. But the reality is that people's dying every day. Now, I seen Michael Jackson. He used to sleep in this special chamber because he wanted to live longer and it was supposed to be healthier. And he would sleep in this special chamber because he was so scared of dying. He died in his 50s. I don't remember how old he was. He wasn't from an overdose. You know, so if it's somebody that's rich and somebody that, you know, may be a hero, so to speak, all at once reality sets in. But the reality is today might be your day. Today might be my day. Are you ready to give an account? James 4:8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You hear that? Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. I lied about preaching fast, I guess. But I don't want to end, and this is the last verses we're going to read. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. He does not live the rest of his life for evil human desires, but for the will of God. Are you living your life today for the will of God? Verse 5 says, but they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. See, that's what it's all about, y'all, this morning. Are you using the gifts that God's given you to serve? To serve Him, to serve each other, faithfully administering the gifts that God has given you. I don't mean to be a downer this morning, but I'd rather speak the truth than sit up here and just be happy, happy. Life is wonderful all the time. And the truth is someday each one of us is going to stand before our Lord. And the truth is that if you haven't been living your life faithfully serving your Heavenly Father, this morning, right now, in this moment, you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of that. You can ask Him to change your heart, to create in you a new heart. Young lady died last Sunday. Used to be married to Charlie's nephew. Brain aneurysm. I think she's 37, 38. Left four little kids. I went to their house this week and talked with her sister, and she told me, and it made me feel good that she'd said this. She said, you know, last week, I don't know what it was, but something in me said I needed to start talking to my sister about the Word of God. And she said, you know, in her journal, the last thing she wrote was, create in me a new heart, O God. She didn't know that she was... She didn't know. She was fine. Create in me a new heart, O God. And maybe you need that this morning. Maybe you're like me and you just realize, God, I've got some work to do. Not that I'm living in rebellion, not that I'm living in sin necessarily, but God, I'm not doing everything in my power to serve you wholeheartedly. My affections have become divided. Right now's the moment. Right now's the time that God can take and transform your life, can transform your desires if we're willing to give ourselves to Him. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you know what each one of us needs. You know the changes that need to be made. You know where we're holding back, where we have a lack of faith, where we haven't fully trusted you in areas of our lives, whether it's with our finances, whether it's with our jobs, whether it's with our families, or whether it's with our affection. Lord, I pray that right now that we would be just laying our burdens, laying these sins at your feet and repenting and crying out for forgiveness, Lord, that someday your word says in Hebrews, I believe, that we may boldly come before the throne of grace. And that, Father, I pray that for each one of us that we may have such a relationship with you, Father, that someday when it's our time that we can know that we know that we know you, that we have that relationship with you, and that we can boldly come before your throne. But Father, that each and every one of us, we would be ready to give an account. That we wouldn't wait any longer. That we would sell out completely to you this morning in every area of our life. Father, have your way. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when
Well, let's keep praying. Let's keep seeking. Pray for your brothers and sisters that are sick this morning, those that are traveling, and let's just give God our everything. Our talents, our abilities, our lives. And let's be ready. You know, let's be ready. Bible study tonight, 6:30. We're in Acts chapter 3. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.